Just want to share with you this morning a very brief thought, but a little out of the box. I think it's relevant to so many different aspects of our lives. In Parshas Emor, we find a lav, that the kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who's a zoina. A zoina means a woman who is promiscuous, conducting herself inappropriately with men, with certain halachic specifications. And such a woman who has a din of a zoina, a kohen is not allowed to marry. Not only a kohen godel, but a regular kohen as well. So the Sefer HaChinuch, in giving the reason, what's this all about, this mitzvah? What do we benefit from it? What does it do for us? So he says as follows. The Kohanim are the ones that are chosen to always, constantly perform the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They're in a very special, very elevated status. So, Roy umachuyev liyosim kedoshim unikim yosim kol shar ha'om b'chol inyonayim. Therefore, it's appropriate and they're obligated to be holy above all lowliness and pure, clean in every way, both physically and spiritually, more than everybody else. Af ki be'inyan hazivik shehu dover ikri v'odom. And I guess it means especially in marriage, which is such an important aspect of a person's life. Uktsas machshevois ha'odom al bazugoi tomid, and some of a person's thoughts are always about his wife. Marriage is such a thing. You know, people that are not married yet don't have that experience. It's something that you can't really imagine. But the spouse, the wife, is like part of him. He says, Ktsas machshevois ha'odom. He's always thinking about her. I mean, sometimes wives feel their husbands are not thinking about them enough, but a certain part of him, you know, you can't go any place without letting your wife know. If you don't come home, she's going to worry. You have certain responsibilities. It's like a part of you. Just like you're aware of your yourself, you're aware of your hands, you're always aware that you have hands. You know, you take them for granted a little bit. People do that with their spouses too, unfortunately. But this part of his machshava is tomid, always on her. Lochein is chayiv shel alisa hazoino. Therefore, he's obligated not to marry this inappropriate woman, this zoino. She, her nature is evil, v'mar and bitter. Because she might lead him away from the proper way in life and the appropriate intentions to the way to conduct his life. So basically we're saying like this, that since a spouse is such an essential part of a person's life, and part of him is always thinking about her, part of his thoughts are always, there's some, maybe it's subconscious sometimes, but there's some ongoing thought that it's always about it, tomid, all the time. Therefore, she has this special power, if she's an evil person, like Azuna is, to lead him off in the wrong direction. I just want to point out one simple idea. It sounds like if man would not be thinking, if his machshavas, if his thoughts would not be always about that wife, then she wouldn't have so much power to lead him off. Now, he's not thinking about her evil powers. He's thinking about his wife. Oh, my wife wants to pick up something tonight. Boy, I better pick it up. I better not forget all day long. He's thinking about it because if he forgets, it's going to be a problem. And this, and he has to do this. And he wants to go somewhere. He has to let her know. And then he wants to share it with her. And then it's really her business too. And he makes certain decisions he has to make. I have to consult with my wife. How could I, you know? So if he didn't have that, she wouldn't have such power over him to lead him in the wrong direction. But since he's constantly thinking, his thoughts are constantly connected to her, that is what gives her the power, if she's this evil wife, to lead him in the wrong direction. So I thought, and I'm not really ready to talk to all of us here about marriage, and it seems it's, you know, a couple of years away, but it's about life. You see, things that are constantly we're connected to have the opportunity to have greater influence. And it occurred to me that our society has a special problem with constant connectivity. You know what that means? I'm not sure. myself. But we're constantly connected. In our society today, I flew last week to Detroit. So you get on a plane and you sit down and you see people don't read books anymore. People don't read newspapers anymore. People don't sleep anymore. All they're doing is like this the whole time from beginning to end. I don't know what they're doing there. All these people didn't look so busy that they have so much to do all day long, but that's it. That constant connectivity makes this instrument capable of having influence on me. I'm always thinking about it. It's always part of me. I feel naked if I don't have it on me, and I have to be in touch, and I have to. It's so much. You know, a psychologist I once heard said that there was these two kids that were young kids that were going home together on the school bus, both sitting on the same seat, but they weren't talking to each other. They were texting. It's like, that's it. You know, we stopped everything. It's all about this little piece of technology that's attached to my hand permanently and my eyes fixed on it permanently all the time. And when it's all the time, it has that enhanced ability to lead me in the wrong direction. The truth of the matter is today that the world that we are connected with is so full of misdirection, is so full of wrong, evil values, is so full of negativity, is so full of crime, is so full of moral decadence, that the more that we remain connected to it, the more influence it has on us. And it's like, you know, even in the world they came to that conclusion. There was an article a few times I've seen it that people wrote that one day a week you should be without your phone. No phone, no cell phones, nothing. One day a week not to be connected. Baruch Hashem, we have that one day. But we need 2 days. We need more days. We need a break. What the Sefer HaChinuch tells us is the fact that it's tumid, that it's ongoing, that the connection is constant. It's that what gives it the power to infiltrate our minds and our morality and change the way we think. You know, I have a short drive every day from my home to the yeshiva. And it's usually around the time of the news on CBS, which is 7:28. So I listen to news, the weather, you know, especially, I mean, the news is always on, but the weather. So right after the weather is this 7:30. 7:30 seems to be the hour where all the murders take place and all the human decadence that exists is going to be reported at that time. And it sounds like they have a special time for it because all the people who so enjoy to listen to somebody being killed and somebody being shot and somebody being wounded and somebody this and somebody that, that they know where to go. That's their place that they took. What is this world coming to? That's all you hear. And not only that, if you talk about negative influences, did you ever hear the glee? You know what glee means? The happiness in their voice when they report about somebody dying. Because it's exciting. Oh, it was a 10-car accident and 24 people were killed. Well, like it's the most exciting thing that ever happened. Wow. The world is nuts. And we're influenced by it. And the way to break, or one way, one possible way, one potential way to break that influence is to disconnect. Don't be focused on it all day long. We are not, it's not necessary for us to know everything that's going out there every moment. It's not necessary to be in touch every moment. It's very beautiful to be disconnected. I remember a friend of mine, I'm sure he's given in since then, but many years ago when they came out with the car phones, he told me he's not getting a car phone because driving in the car is his only opportunity to be by himself, to be disconnected, not to be influenced by all the insanity that's going on in the world. He has a radio in the car, I don't know, that's something else, but maybe he doesn't turn it on, but he doesn't want a car phone. So we have to be able to cut ourselves off from this world. And it seems that even temporary cuts, like it's not tummy, it's not all the time, can make a difference in how influential the negativity out there is upon us. But when our mind is always focused on it, there's that little piece of technology that I'm thinking about all day long. All day long, it's always on my mind, whether I have it, whether I don't have it. You know, I understand that there are some people, even in schools, where they give in their phones by day, they have to have another phone. Even if they never use it, just that it should be in their pocket so that they know, oh, I have. Ah, okay, I'm connected. I can touch it. I'm touching it. Make nice to it. Oh, now I have my phone. Oh, I still remain connected. A phone today is like a bad wife. You don't need that influence all day long. Don't get married to your phone, even if you're not a kohen, because it's a very, very negative type of an influence. So anyway, so that's my message. You should know something, Rabbi Isai. You know, I've seen a couple of generations in this world. I gotta tell you, it's the decadence in the world. In the 1940s, I saw a report once. What were the biggest problems in schools in the 1940s? You hear? Chewing gum was number one. Kids chewing gum when they weren't supposed to. Terrible problem, right? Getting out of line when they're supposed to line up. They had these lineups. You have to line up before you go to class. Kids stepping out of line. Pushing and shoving. Today, you know what the problems are? You know how many school murders there are? You know what kind of deathly fights are going on? You know what kind of gum they chew or whatever they do with it? It's a whole different world. We're in a world that's declining morally, declining ethically, declining humanly. We're less human than we used to be. Somebody out there is trying to make us look like a bunch of monkeys. And they're doing a pretty good job. And the way to fight it, or a way to fight it, is not to be so connected. What would be, if a person would not have a phone on him for a day? You know, we put in the yeshiva over there, they have this, I don't know, some of you have seen it, this box, this, I don't know what it's called, like file phone with
lock.
What?
Phone lock.
Yeah, phone lock, where you put your phone in. And then there's a phone, if there's an emergency, someone's wife has to call them, someone's mother has to call, there's a phone in the hallway that somebody answers, it rings loud, and if there's an emergency, they can get them. Marash. What's so terrible if I'm not so connected? If I was only connected to the good things in life, that wouldn't be so bad. But the majority of the things that come through on the airwaves, or whatever those waves are called, are negative. And therefore, the more that we can call a break in between our connection, probably, for sure, the healthier we will be.